The story of Bani Israel starts with Ibrahim, who was most likely born in the city of Ur of the Chaldeans in modern-day Iraq, possibly in the 1800s BCE. And at the time, Ur was a polytheistic society, with Ibrahim's own father being a sculptor of idols, which were then sold in the marketplace for people to worship. But Ibrahim from the beginning was special in that he never worshipped any idols, and soon he began to preach to his people that they should leave their idolatry and sin behind and worship Allah alone. This, of course, did not go over well with his people, and he was forced to flee from Ur of the Chaldeans along with his nephew and fellow prophet, Lut. Together, they made their way towards the southern Levant, where Ibrahim settled in the land of Canaan in modern-day Palestine, where Lut was then sent to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, most likely along the Jordanian River just north of the Dead Sea. At some point during this time, Ibrahim's second wife, Hajar, gave birth to Ismail, and he was commanded to then take them deep into the Arabian Peninsula and leave them there, returning to Canaan on his own. This is when Hajar famously ran between the mountains of Safa and Marwa, looking for passing caravans, when she eventually discovered the well of Zamzam, which became the foundation of the city of Mecca. Ibrahim would briefly return to Mecca many years later when Ismail had reached adulthood, and together they built the original Kaaba and called for the people of the world to make pilgrimage to it. Then, to complete the final ritual of Hajj, Ibrahim was commanded to sacrifice his beloved son, Ismail. Both Ibrahim and Ismail submitted to the command, passing their test, and so Allah replaced Ismail with a ram, thus beginning the tradition of sacrifice, Hajj. After this, Ibrahim once again returned to Canaan, where his first wife Sarah then gave birth to Ishaq, who would then go on to have a son of his own named Ya'qub. And this is where the lineage of Bani Israel begins. You see, Ya'qub was also given the name Israel, and so his sons were called Bani Israel, meaning the children of Israel. Ya'qub then had 12 sons, each becoming a patriarch of their own tribe, which is why they were called the 12 tribes of Israel. But these 12 sons were not always friendly with each other. And in their youth, 10 of the sons were envious of Yusuf, believing that he was their father's favorite. And so they conspired to get rid of him by taking him out to play and then leaving him in a well to die. There, a passing caravan found Yusuf in a well and took him to Egypt, where he was then sold to one of the Egyptian ministers and his wife. This is the house in which Yusuf grew up in, where he learned the intricacies and the politics of the Egyptian upper class. But then eventually, as he entered adulthood, the minister's wife tried to seduce him. Yusuf refused and resisted, but word got out about what had happened, and to silence the scandal, they threw Yusuf in jail and forgot about him. And it was only many years later, when he managed to get out, when the king of Egypt found use for his ability to interpret dreams, and seeing that he was capable and trustworthy, Yusuf was given a high position in the government. Around the same time as all that was happening, a famine began to plague Egypt and Canaan in the east. People from all over the region began to flock to Egypt, where they had stocked many years' worth of food in preparation for this famine, and among them were the brothers of Yusuf. Eventually, Yusuf revealed himself to them and forgave them, and then told them to bring his father and their families to Egypt. And from then on, Bani Israel lived in Egypt in high positions in the government under the ruler of the Egyptian king. And that's the important part, not the pharaoh of Egypt, the king. You see, the story of Yusuf likely takes place around 1600 BCE, and at the time, Egypt was ruled by the 15th dynasty, known as the Hyksos. They were foreign rulers who had invaded and conquered Egypt, and so they called themselves kings and not pharaohs. But eventually Egypt was reconquered by the pharaohs in the 1500s BCE, when Pharaoh Ahmose I defeated the Hyksos, starting the 18th dynasty and bringing what's known as the New Kingdom period. And with the Hyksos kings gone and no longer in power, the pharaohs took Bani Israel and enslaved them. For many generations, Bani Israel remained slaves, where their sons were often slaughtered and possibly much worse was done to their daughters. But from among them was born Musa, whose mother put him in a basket and threw him in the river, where he eventually found his way into the house of the pharaoh and was adopted by Asiya, the pharaoh's pious and righteous wife. Here, just like Yusuf, Musa grew up within the royal family, learning the politics of the upper class. But eventually that would change when Musa saw an Egyptian man beating one of his own people of Bani Israel in the streets. And so Musa came to his defense and punched the Egyptian, accidentally killing him. and he was then forced to flee Egypt, making his way east towards the land of Midian. There he met the prophet Shu'aib, where he married his daughter and worked for him for the next 10 years. And after Musa had completed his contract with Shu'aib, he took his family and traveled back to Sinai, where he was given revelation from Allah in the Valley of Tuwa by the Mount of Sinai. Together, along with his brother Harun, who was still in Egypt, they were commanded to go to Pharaoh, calling him to Islam and for him to free Bani Israel from their slavery. This is when Musa came to Pharaoh with his miracles and signs of prophecy. And after being given many, many chances, Pharaoh refused to believe and refused to free Bani Israel. And so Musa took his people to the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his army hot on their tracks. Musa struck the water with his staff, splitting the sea. And as Bani Israel made it to the other side, the water collapsed on Pharaoh and his army, drowning them for the crimes they had committed. Bani Israel had now escaped to Sinai, and this is when Allah had raised the mountain over their heads, threatening them, while they swore an oath to him known as the covenant, that they would hold firmly to the scripture of Musa and Harun, and that they would worship Allah alone. From here, Musa was commanded to fight the people of Canaan and to capture the city of Jerusalem, but all but two of his followers refused to fight, and those two were known as Caleb and Yusha'a bin Nun. Eventually, Musa passed away and Yusha'a became his khalifa, leading a new generation of Bani Israel into battle, where they defeated Canaan and established the 12 kingdoms of Israel, possibly around the 1400s BCE. And there, Bani Israel remained for a few hundred years until the chiefs of the 12 tribes told one of their prophets, who may have been named Samuel, to appoint for them a king. And so he appointed Talut as their king, uniting the tribes under one kingdom of Israel around the year 1050 BCE. Talut then marched his army to fight the Amalekites, a mighty nation led by the fearsome Goliath. But a young boy by the name of Dawood stood to face him and killed him with his slingshot. And he was eventually given prophethood and later went on to become king of Israel.
And by the way, if you want to support the channel and help me pay my editors, you can sign up for my Patreon, link in the YouTube video description or on my TikTok profile. Anyway.
Under Dawood, the kingdom thrived. He was pious and righteous and an excellent judge and warrior. He was taught how to create metal armor and was given guidance and good judgment in the Zabur, a scripture from Allah. And after Dawood came his son Suleiman, who was given power over the animals and the jinn and the winds. Under his rule, the first temple was built. It was a masjid and it acted as a qibla for Bani Israel, the direction in which they would pray. And when Suleiman died, a civil war broke out, and at some point in the 900s BCE, the kingdom was split in two, with the kingdom of Israel in the north and the kingdom of Judah in the south. During this time, the people of the kingdom of Israel in the north began to worship an idol named Baal, and so the prophet Elias was sent to them, reminding them to keep their covenant and only worship Allah. And when Elias eventually passed away, the prophet Eliezer continued to preach in his place. Soon after this, in the 700s BCE, destruction came to the kingdom of Israel when the Assyrian Empire to the east began expanding into the Levant, attacking them twice before finally occupying them in 720 BCE. About a fifth of the population of Israel was deported and resettled in the neighboring lands, becoming known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. But the rest were allowed to stay, though now under Assyrian control. Throughout all of this, the kingdom of Judah remained worshipping only Allah, and biblical sources say that the major prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel preached there during this time, though there are no mentions of them in the Quran or Ahadith. Even so, the kingdom of Judah too would soon see its own destruction. A new empire was now rising once again from the east, this time known as the Neo-Babylonian Empire. Under the command of Nebuchadrezzar II, the Babylonians defeated the Assyrians and became the new conquerors of the Levant, this time invading and capturing the kingdom of Judah as well. The Babylonians then destroyed the Temple of Solomon in 586 BCE and expelled Bani Israel from the land, taking them as slaves and bringing them back to Babylon. But this captivity wouldn't last long, as a righteous king had now risen out of Persia and he was conquering every land in both the east and the west, defeating every tyrant and subjugating every nation under his command. His name was Cyrus the Great, and it's possible he was the one mentioned in the Quran as Dhul Qarnayn. After Cyrus the Great defeated the Babylonians in 539 BCE, he managed to walk into the city of Babylon with virtually no resistance. And when he captured the city, he freed Bani Israel and allowed them to go back to Judea and rebuild the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem in 537 BCE. And it was during this return that Prophet Uzair lived. For the next 200 years, Judea remained under the Persian Empire until it was eventually conquered by Alexander the Great in 332 BCE. Judea continued to be controlled by foreign empires until the eventual rise of the Roman Empire, which then conquered Egypt and the Levant, and finally sacked Jerusalem in 63 BCE. Judea had now become a client state of the Roman Empire. And here we find the final prophets who were sent to Bani Israel. The prophet Zechariah was in charge of the affairs of the temple in Jerusalem at the time. And he was also the guardian of Maryam after her father had passed away. And as he reached old age, he asked Allah for a son who would inherit prophethood from him. His dua was granted, and he was given a son, Yahya, a wise and righteous man. These two prophets paved the way for Isa, who was soon after born by the Virgin Maryam, and together they called upon their people to keep their covenant with Allah, worship Him alone, and keep to the laws of scripture. But there were people within Bani Israel who did not accept their message. And many of the rulers of Judea, although they were from Bani Israel, submitted to the Roman rulers and oppressed their own people. One such ruler was Herod the First, who, according to the Bible, ordered the massacre of all boys in Bethlehem under the age of 2 at the time when Isa was born, as news got out that there was a child who spoke in the cradle and who would soon be the prophesied Messiah and take over his kingdom. It is said that Zechariah was killed because he refused to reveal where they had been hiding. Some biblical sources say that he fled the assassins by hiding in the hollow body of a tree, and then when the killers found him, they sawed him in half while he was stuck there. However, there are no Islamic sources for these events, but the Quran does mention that Allah saved Maryam and Isa and took them to a high place. So this may be a reference to Isa being saved from such a massacre. The son of Herod the First later inherited his kingdom, and he wanted to divorce his wife and marry her sister instead. He then went to Yahya to have the marriage officiated, but when Yahya disapproved of the marriage, the king had him executed, killing him by decapitation. That left Isa as the final prophet of Bani Israel, and the authorities there then turned on him as well. And while rumors had spread that Isa had been crucified and later resurrected, in reality they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. Rather, it was made to appear that way, and Allah rescued Isa, keeping him for a time when he would then return to the earth once more. This event began the split between those who called themselves the Christians and the Jews, and the Muslims. The Jews on one hand rejected Isa, saying that he had not been the prophesied Messiah. Christians on the other hand began a new religion based on the teachings of Paul and his followers, saying that Isa had been crucified and then resurrected and that he was the son of Allah. However, the Muslims were those who said that Isa was a prophet like those before him, and that Isa was not crucified, nor was he the son of Allah, nor did he die for the sins of humanity. Rather, he will return and fulfill his role as a Messiah. They are the ones who believed in the prophecy in the book of Isaiah in chapter 42, where it says that there will be a coming prophet from the desert lands of Kedar, who are the descendants of Ismail, a prophet who will call against the worship of carved idols and establish justice in the earth. This was the story of Bani Israel, the story of the Muslims before the last prophet of Islam. Among them were the best of people, and among them were the worst of people. And they had times of triumph and unity, and other times of infighting and decay. But every mistake that they made, we have made too. And perhaps by learning from our own past and theirs as well, we can avoid those mistakes and take them as lessons for our own. The history of Bani Israel is our history, and their lineage is our lineage. The Muslims are the successors to Bani Israel, who swore an oath to worship none other than Allah and to hold on to the scripture and the teachings of his prophets. And so no one has a right to the history and legacy of Bani Israel except those who follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last of the prophets.